This is the 90 Neighborhoods 90 Good Stories podcast from 90.5 WESA. I'm Joaquin Gonzalez. Each week, we introduce you to people in the Pittsburgh area who are striving to make their community a better place to live. The series is sponsored by UPMC, life-changing medicine. This episode, bringing people together through ceramics and other crafts in Highland Park, fighting student food insecurity in Oakland, and teen outreach in Brookline. Our first story was reported by 90.5 WESA's Noah Broad. He stopped by an old church building on North Negley Avenue to chat with Jeffrey Dorsey, executive director of the Union Project.
Elise Birnbaum is wedging a big handful of clay in the basement of a 100-year-old church building, with her dog Foss circling excitedly. By banging it on the tabletop, Birnbaum is releasing air bubbles to make the clay usable for necklaces she's making. She's one of about two dozen co-op ceramists who make up the heart of the Union Project, a beautifully restored former church situated on the border between Highland Park and East Liberty. The nonprofit, which incorporates the arts and community outreach, was founded in 2002. For the past 8 years, it's been led by Jeffrey Dorsey.
It's been awesome. Union Project is a really great fit for, I guess, my values and what I'm and how I believe that, you know, the arts can play a role in building more empathetic communities. And I think this is a time in the world that we need that, you know, as much or more than ever.
Ceramics is the central program for the Union Project. Not only does the co-op run a full-scale ceramics studio, but its members also volunteer to plan and teach about 70 community ceramics classes each year. But under Dorsey, the Union Project has been just as focused on community outreach as it has been on the arts.
So even though we've put more of a focus on the arts as a strategy for how we build community, we are community builders at our core.
To that end, after realizing that East End residents needed a place to just sit down and talk, Dorsey started a monthly program called Creative Conversations 2 years ago.
The community members who attend kind of steer this thing. They give their input. We get into really difficult issues sometimes about race and class and politics. Obviously, with this political year, that has come up a lot. We've had issues come up around police shootings, and we've made art together.
Dorsey says the Union Project builds much of its programming around which activities are in demand in the East End, and also which ones local residents can offer to lead. That can be anything from free health and wellness services given by local professionals to a long-running hula hooping class given by Erica Johnson, who lives down the street. Johnson says she was a new resident to Highland Park when she wandered into the Union Project with two hula hoops on her shoulder. And within an hour, Dorsey was asking her to teach a class.
And I still marvel that he took that time out of his day to just talk with this neighbor and hula hoop and gave me that opportunity to do that thing that really changed my life and brought this really fun thing to the neighborhood.
Johnson, who's now the interim office manager at the Union Project, says Dorsey is a community leader.
Without leadership like his that is vulnerable and open and questioning and willing to be changed, that this place wouldn't have the kind of welcoming atmosphere that it has and wouldn't have the impact in the community.
For his part, Dorsey says he's looking forward to preparing the Union Project as one of several Pittsburgh locations hosting events for the National Council on Education for the Ceramics Arts in March. I'm Noah Broad, 90.5 WESA News.
For our next segment, I checked in with volunteers at the Pitt Pantry, a group working to make sure that poor nutrition isn't part of the college experience for any student.
Cereal, snacks.
Brooke McAvoy is walking through the Pitt Pantry, pointing out some of their selection.
Soup.
It's located in the basement of the Belfield Presbyterian Church in Oakland. McAvoy is the president of the pantry's student executive board.
French onion up there.
A 2016 report from the National Student Campaign Against Hunger and Homelessness found that 48% of college students had experienced food insecurity in the last 30 days. The United States Department of Agriculture defines that as limited or uncertain access to adequate food. McAvoy says many people don't think of this as a problem that affects college students. In fact, they kind of accept it as a norm.
There's a certain discourse where
College students are supposed to be eating foods that aren't necessarily nutritious. That's just part of the college experience.
Okay, but you're not going hungry, so everything's good, right?
In reality, it's not. You're not getting the nutrition you need.
Erica Ninos is a sustainability coordinator at PitServes, the university-wide initiative that the pantry falls under. She says the pantry was formed in 2015 after a group of students approached the university with a message.
We realized that we may have been able to go and purchase, you know, 3 packs of ramen a day, but we don't feel like that was a nutritious way of going through our college experience.
Today, Pitt students whose income is less than 150% of the poverty line are eligible to shop at the pantry, which has served more than 300 of these students in the last year. According to Ninos, many consistent shoppers are international students whose visa status means they can't hold a job to support themselves. But there are also students who might come in every once in a while when they're in a tight spot. She sees a lot of students who are still adjusting to moving off campus, for example.
You may have just gotten your first gas bill that's $280 that you hadn't planned for.
Holly Giovengo is a shopper who once worked at the pantry through an AmeriCorps placement. She's now a grad student at Pitt.
I use the pantry and other resources to save money for other things that I wouldn't be able to get in any other kind of way, like my books.
When these shoppers come in, McAvoy says student volunteers called guides walk with them through the pantry to pick out their food.
We really want the shoppers to be comfortable when they come in. We found that peer-to-peer communication is really what makes the pantry what it is.
The pantry gets some of their inventory from the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, but most of it is donated by students on campus.
83% of our food comes from food drives, which is awesome. It shows, you know, the Pitt community really rallying together to support us.
And that same community also gets involved in educational events that the pantry holds.
We have cooking classes where we'll have people from the nutrition school come in and do, you know, lots of things with the items we have in the pantry. We have a lot of canned foods. What can you do? Like make a bean salad out of those. That's actually really delicious.
Everyone at the pantry is proud of the work they're doing, but Nino says they're also realizing that food security is just part of a larger framework of basic needs that need to be met for students.
So talking about, you know, housing, talking about financial literacy.
Moving forward, the goal is for the pantry to become a central hub on campus for information and resources on this wider range of topics. Our final story coming up next.
WESA celebrates 90 neighborhoods, 90 good stories, is supported by UPMC, life-changing medicine.
We'll hand things back over to Noah Broad for our last story, which profiles Caitlin McNulty, a co-founder of the Brookline Teen Outreach Center.
In 2015, Caitlin McNulty had been running a youth ministry program out of a Brookline church for a few years when she began to realize that the teenagers in the neighborhood, the city's second largest and third most populous, needed more. In addition to the youth ministry's regular programming, McNulty had been helping students with their homework and bringing in a counselor to work through some teens' personal issues. Through her outreach, it became clear to her that young people in Brookline deserved better.
I knew this needed to happen, and I felt in a unique position to make it happen.
And in 2015, she and a friend founded the Brookline Teen Outreach Center.
We're not just an after-school program. We're not just tutoring. We're not just an opportunity for community service. We offer all of those things and counseling.
After a year of sharing space with a local American Legion chapter under a lease-to-own deal, in 2016, McNulty's nonprofit got the building along Brookline Boulevard all to itself. Since then, McNulty says the Teen Center has been powered solely by a large group of volunteers from the city's South Hills neighborhoods.
We all have other jobs, but it's really important to us. Most of our staff are former educators or counselors, or currently still. And then we have a pool of about 50 volunteers who give their time.
McNulty, who now works as a freelance editor, says the center is open 4 days each week, with each volunteer offering their expertise to help run a wide range of programs.
So we have cooking classes, we have podcasting workshops, writing workshops, STEM programming, art all the time. We always have video games and board games because it's just fun to play sometimes.
McNulty, an energetic mother of two, doesn't have an office at the Teen Center. She says that's by design. She spends most of her time there walking through the rooms and halls, checking in on the teenagers who begin to arrive after school lets out on weekdays. McNulty says Brookline, which she considers a forgotten neighborhood, was in desperate need of services for teens.
They're the second largest And most people don't know that they're even here. You know, you cross the river, you go through the tunnel, and it's the suburbs, but it's not. It's very much a city neighborhood and all the problems that come with that. And there are not a lot of resources. We are the only youth nonprofit in the southern city of Pittsburgh neighborhoods, Carrick, Beachview, Brookline.
McNulty says the Teen Outreach Center has become a community gathering point for Brookline.
I did not realize the impact that we would have on the community and the need that we would be fulfilling in the community.
She says the response from teens has been so enthusiastic that the Brookline Teen Outreach Center is planning to open a satellite location in Beachview next year. I'm Noah Broad, 90.5 WESA News.
That's the last story for this episode. Thanks, as always, for joining us. 90 Neighborhoods, 90 Good Stories is an ongoing project, and you can be a part of it. If you know someone who's making a difference in your community, you can nominate them at our website, wesa.fm/90. I'm Joaquin Gonzalez,